just dressing up for church, we used to, even as little people, like my son is 5, Karame is 3.5, we used to dress up and my shoes had tassels on it, and those were like the church shoes. The tassels on, you were like, those were your church shoes. And then arriving at Kempton Park Presby, and there were clappers, I was like, whoa, what is this? And I still remember my mom, she was part of the music team at the time, and standing there all on my own, and the one day I'm like, yeah, I'll give this clapping thing a try. And my mom like looking at me like, whoa, you're clapping. Anyway, but so I just kind of like attended church, or I had a relationship with Jesus, but I pretty much attended church, just going through the motions. And there was a moment where Brian and one of the other youth leaders just said to me, oh, why don't you come and help us out on a Friday night with the little people? There was this program called Bubble Time. And we were like, okay, cool, we're going to do Bubble Time. I'm like, I had no idea what I was doing. I'm like, me with little kids. Whew. Anyway, so first Friday night came, played kids. And I'm like, well, that was cool, but I wasn't going to admit it at the time. Anyway, I was invited that night to youth, but I didn't go, I had other plans. I was like, not at that level. And but every week, I found myself back at Bubble Time. And then eventually, I started going to youth. And then Brian eventually said to me, well, why don't you help out at Sunday evening service on sound? So I got a good crash course in sound and from Brian, because Brian just like knows everything. So Brian stuck me there, the 16-year-old in the back of the sound, and I'm like trying to figure this out, feeling very stressed. Sound people, that's stressful what you guys do. And then also AV back in the day. I don't even remember the old overhead projectors. You know, and then there's that moment you kind of like, if you like really hit like master level, you like took the one side and you kind of like measured it and then you're like, whew, you know, and then that was how it worked. So Brian kind of got me involved. Like I was pretty much involved in a lot of different places. And then there was the call to come and help with holiday clubs. I was the first Zot the robot or that was in existence. And we just had so many great times serving together. First mission trip I ever went on to Zambia. I remember feeling very much out of my depth. We're going into an informal settlement area to have what we would, I suppose, shish and yama. And I'm holding on to my bag and Brian's like, just let go. Who are you scared of? And I'm like, and I'm holding on to my bag. But it's all just part of the growth and the journey and of just having someone in your corner calling out something more in you. Brian and Lana, you probably didn't know it back then, but you became the family that I needed. Sorry. You were the big brother I never had. And in the middle of all it, Jesus was there. And that's legacy. Because as you ran your race, you helped me find mine. And now I need tissues. Behind me, there's a big box. I do apologize. I didn't think this was going to be this hard, but anyway. And so I just want to say thank you for that, because I wouldn't be standing in front of you this morning if it wasn't for the work of Brian and Lana and the impact and the small ways that they just were present when I needed it most. There was a moment, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but where my stepdad actually tried to kill my mom. And I remember Brian and Lana sitting, we were on a youth camp, and Brian and Lana were at the church that Sunday afternoon, and Lana's still asking me very clearly, how are you going home? And I said, well, no, I'm just going to have to just phone my mom. He said, no, we'll take you, which is was not uncommon. And then Brian and Lana breaking the news to me and just said, you know what, something happened. And they were just so gentle and so just supportive of that exceptionally difficult time. And they, you're saying that they lead from the back. There's a leading from the back and a leading from the front that is uncommon. And you guys do that so well and so unassumingly, and you pitch up when it matters most. And so thank you. For us, where does that leave us? We're talking about legacy this morning. Whether you're a parent, a mentor, a youth leader, or a friend, we all want to live lives that absolutely count. Our world says, build your brand, chase success, collect followers. And Instagram is full of people showing off their meals, their opinions, and often their muscles. And when we're left wondering, what are these people thinking at the end of the day? But deep down, I want to ask this question. We've got to ask this, is there more than this? Some of those things aren't necessarily bad in themselves, but they are not enough. We are created for more. And when I'm talking about legacy, we are called as Christ followers to build legacies, not for ourselves, but that reflect the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Because you were created for more, you were made to leave a spiritual legacy, one that outlives you, not in buildings, likes, or accolades, but in transformed lives. And transformed lives ultimately multiply. So how do we live a life that multiplies? I'm going to read this morning from 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and it says this, "And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. So this is a bit of a masterclass in spiritual legacy. Paul is writing to Timothy, his spiritual son, showing how the faith is to be passed faithfully and intentionally to the next generation. So let's break it down. If you read there, the things you have heard me say. So this is Paul speaking to Timothy. The things you have heard me say, put it into action. What are those things? They're Christ's death and resurrection. They're salvation by grace. And the call to holy living. I've put the scriptures there, Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4. These core truths of the gospel, showing how faith is to be passed down, is publicly taught, heard by many, and grounded in Jesus. Legacy is grounded in Jesus. Brian and Lana could have easily just said, oh, shame. But no, that's not what they did. They gave me purpose in the moment that I had probably the worst possible family scenario you can imagine. They gave me purpose. They comforted me. We played so much Scrabble and Monopoly. Not Scrabble, not Monopoly. Scrabble, spoons, all sorts. It was amazing. But ultimately, at the center of that, Jesus was there. Don't lose your faith. Jesus is with you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The next part of this scripture says, entrust to reliable people. Now, it's interesting. The word entrust means to deposit something of value. The truth must be passed to faithful, mature, truth-honoring people. Now, the gospel needs to be passed on to everybody, okay? But if we're talking about leaving a legacy, it's identifying people that are willing to take on the call beyond themselves. And sometimes the problem is we don't necessarily see that, but we are called to look through different lenses at people and say we call out something new. We call people to maturity. It's not just okay to go through your stuff. There is more, and you need to deal with your stuff so you can go and move into the fullness of what God has for you. That is what legacy is about. And so when Paul says to Timothy, And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses and trust to reliable people, he is saying, look out for reliable people. Call people to more. And that's what actually moves things forward. But then there's also this other side of it. It says, reliable people will also be qualified to teach others. Legacy isn't just about keeping the gospel. It's about multiplying it through discipleship. It's not just about saying the right things, but it's about living the life that God has asked us to live. It's not just about our words. It's about our actions as well. And if I reflect back at some of the journey when I was growing up, Brian and Lana modeled that in the most real and relevant way. Yes, they had their things that they would have little fights, as couples do. I could see that. But it was just, there's that real solidness. We love Jesus and we serve him and we're figuring everything else out around that. And it's actually what makes things move forward and what people want to follow. And I want to just say this, that example that you guys set helped me throughout my adult upbringing. And so thank you. This is Jesus' model, investing in the few so they can be reaching of many. So yes, a couple of, just four truths about legacy. Legacy starts with depth. Be with Jesus first. If there's one thing that Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. How does it go? With all your soul and with all your strength, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. It's not just like, oh, you know, jolly good show. It's about love the Lord your God with all your heart. You cannot build a legacy in Jesus if you don't know Jesus. You cannot be telling people about Jesus if you don't spend time with him. Spending time with Jesus in the private place is where legacy begins. Before you take the public stage, make sure that you have spent time with Jesus in the private places. Before you lead others, let Jesus lead you. Before you teach, live it. And you can't pass on what hasn't first transformed you. Legacy flows from a place of depth. In many different cultures, there are wells. You all know what a well is. But you cannot draw from an empty well. And the only person that can fill the well in your life is Jesus. You can try and fill other stuff, but once you start drawing something out of the well, it's going to show what's in that well. Is it going to be sand? Or is it going to be Jesus? You cannot draw from an empty well. And so love the Lord your God with all your heart. Legacy starts there. Legacy is built on everyday relationships, point two. It says in Deuteronomy 6 verse 7, impress these truths on your children. Talk about them when you sit, walk, lie down, and get up. Legacy isn't built on stages. It's built in kitchens, car rides, camp trips, coffee, and board games. Amen. We need to play more games. But it is having fun together. If I think about some of the most fun things, I can think of many, many different things. But I used to, when I was at school, because Brian is quite a fun guy, he used to get me involved to make like all sorts of things. You know, Brian's the handyman of notes, so he was always tinkering at something. But because it was so much fun, I decided my school was right next door to the church. So I would jump the wall after school and I would hang out with Brian for the rest of the afternoon. Then he'd say, are you hungry? Yeah, yeah, I'm hungry. Now, you don't know this either, but we lived down we were in the same block of flats. So we were on the same level and our house and Brian and Lana's flat were like five flats apart. So then I would hang out there, have like sandwiches, and then we'd play another game or two. And it was, that's where friendship and fun was built. I remember going on a mission trip to Zambia, and oh my goodness, there was this scenario where I was staying in the same house as I was the one that was too scared to really go out to other places, and I got to stay where Brian and Lana stayed. But that one night, I opened up the door to go to the bathroom, and cockroaches, but by the thousands, like an Indiana Jones thing. Now, we're on mission here for Jesus, and I'm like, cockroaches, whoa. Anyway, and then I hear Lana scream, and the bed had broken. And there were cockroaches in the bed, piling out the bed, and just fun things. You remember these things? I don't know, they actually mean nothing, but they were just fun. And so legacy is about relationships, and it's not accidental, it's relational. The relational. Brian and Lana didn't preach sermons at me. They welcomed me in, they often fed me, and in the time of my life needed most, gave me purpose. So here's the question for us this morning. Are you opening your home and your heart to others? Are you slowing down enough to build people, not just your schedule? I find this a massive challenge for me at the stage of life that I'm in at the moment, is that life is at such a pace that it's not slow enough to really invest and build into people around me. Yes, there's building into my children, but is there more space for building into others? And so that's the question on this legacy is building everyday relationship. Are you slowing down enough to build into people, not just your schedule? And if you do have space, are you building in the right space and place? God always has one or two people around you that he wants you to build into their lives. But we can choose to be attentive to that, or we can choose to just ignore it and say, I'll have maybe look next month or the month after that. And before you know it, years have passed and you have not moved in that space. Hey, buddy. Then number three, legacy speaks life and calls out purpose. So I think about, you know, Gideon and the 300, you know, his whole army was whittled down. Then there's this amazing moment in Judges 6, verse 12. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Think about this for a moment. Why did Gideon, or why did God have to send an angel to Gideon? That's quite a heavenly intervention, right? God sends an angel, not the best friend. God sends an angel saying, Gideon, mighty warrior, God is with you. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Why? Because he probably didn't feel it. He probably didn't feel it. And so God sends an angel, and he says, God is with you, the Lord is with you, and he says, mighty warrior. I often think about that, and I'm thinking, sometimes when people encourage me, I'm like, oh, you know, we do that all. You know, we don't want to take too much, you know. But he says, mighty warrior, because you need to be a mighty warrior if you're going to go and face that massive army, right? And so what the angel does is he calls it out. God calls it out. But he says, Gideon next needs to hear this because he needs to know that he is a mighty warrior. Calls it out of him. Mighty warrior, I am with you. Go, courage. He still had to go and do the hard work. But it calls it out of him. Leaving a legacy means calling out the very best that we see in others. I see leadership on you. I see that you are fill in the blanks. Whatever that is, call it out. Jesus says to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Whew. What a crazy thing to hear. But something when we are encouraged, when somebody calls something out of us, it does something in us. It makes you, I can walk a little bit higher than I did before. And that's what this world needs. From Gideon to Peter to Timothy, legacy begins when someone says, I see gold in you, and calls it out. Who around you needs to hear? You are chosen, you are called, and that you are enough. Elijah in 1 Kings 19 throws a cloak over someone and invites them into their calling. It says, let's be those guys to invite and call the best out of others for his kingdom. My fourth point is legacy, and I put this in Thessalonians. Legacy done right multiplies and outlives you. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, one generation commends your works to another. It's a beautiful verse there. One generation commends your works to another. Legacy isn't a moment. It's a consistent movement of obedience. Who of you have been to the gym before? Okay, just quickly. If you've ever stepped your foot in a gym, just raise your hand. Okay, there's plenty of you. Okay, what happens if you go to gym regularly? Anar. Okay, thank you. Initially, it's anar, right? It's anar. It's like, oh, my word, my quads, my legs, my arms. But then as you go more and more, you get better and you get stronger. And it's like a constant deposit. The more you go, the frequently you do it, the better you get. Now, I know there's a lot of comrades runners here in this church. And the whole thing about comrades is far more got to do with consistency than it's got to do with being able to be a world-class sprinter. It's getting up in the morning, early, get running, do the miles. In the evening, go and do the miles. It's not about the, oh, I'm going to wake up 2 months, comrades, here we go. Those people don't make it. Legacy isn't a moment, it's a consistent movement of obedience. As we reflect on Scripture, we see God calling us to more, God depositing stuff in us, God reshaping our inner world. And in obedience, as we are obedient to His Word day after day after day, that's when, over a long period of time, we see a legacy develop. Paul didn't measure legacy by success, but he measured it by faithfulness, by the fact that others were ready to run after his race finished. And so as we pour into others, and they pour into others, and those others pour into others, we don't stop until the day we are called to go home to be with Jesus. And so I ask you this, who are you pouring into? What are you passing on? I'm going to just pause there. What are you passing on? We are all passing on something. Are you passing on the right thing that'll lead and help others meet Jesus? I'll share this from a person. I told you about schedules. My schedule is hectic. I take pride in my schedule. Like, get so much done. But what am I actually passing on? If I have to really be, I'm just passing on frenetic running. Wow. I had somebody say to me this week, you work hard, eh? You work hard and you work fast. And there was this part of me that was like, I work hard and I work fast. Yeah. But actually, when I thought about it last night, that's not great at all. I don't want to be known for being working hard and fast. Like, what does that really mean? But Anne's tuned me this week. She's like, you need to spend time with your boy a little bit more. And I'm like, Because if he is looking towards us as his parents of how to walk this journey. I can be involved with church, I can be involved with all these things, but if I don't spend time with my boy in the throes of life, it's all for nothing. And so we need to slow down. And so what are you passing on? Am I passing on a crazy schedule? Or am I passing on a legacy that says, Dad was there, we always played, but he loved Jesus, and we served him, served Jesus together as a family. Third question, who do you need to call out something greater in? Just think that for a moment. Who in your world is there that you need to call something out that's greater? And ultimately, if you look at those three, what legacy are you building? I want to encourage you that as you go this afternoon, maybe take a piece of paper and take some magazines and actually cut it up and say, Lord, what is it that you want to see for my life? I did this a couple of years ago, many years ago, probably like 14 years ago. And one of the things that I just really felt God say is, like, I want to have a family that serves Jesus. I was very much single. And for many years, I didn't see it happening. I thought I was going to be uncle to everybody's kids. Literally, I even remember old Jaden over here. He was ee-ee. I was ee-ee for like 3 years when he was born. I was ee-ee, ee-ee this, ee-ee that. But I was like, I can be the good uncle. But I was like, no. And I still remember God saying, no, family is there. And maybe it just starts with doing something simple, saying like, Lord, I invite you into my world again. I want to have a legacy that counts and that matters for you and for the kingdom, that far outlives me. So maybe just start with that, saying, Lord, what is it you want? And go cut up some things, get a little vision board together. You don't need a platform. All you need to do is say yes. Sometimes the very thing you can do is just inviting people. Become inviting machines. Hillcrest Presby, there's a lot of people in this Upper Harbor area that don't know Jesus. You don't have to go far. Be the people that invite more people. Some will land, others won't. But invite. Invite people into this wonderful relationship, life-giving relationship with Jesus. Speak life. Where everybody speaks death and, oh, you've got this problem. Speak life in the workplace. I see this in you. Well done for doing that. People just need encouragement. For some of us, you might have already been doing all these things, but it just might just be like, Jesus, refocus me. Realign my thoughts. For some of you, you have built many legacies. But the end is not yet. Until that day, you're on your deathbed. Your work here is not yet done. And there's that scripture that speaks about where we get to heaven, it's like, well done, good and faithful servant. I would love Jesus to say that to me. But I would love Jesus to say that to all of us. When we meet him. And so who is next? Who are you building into? Grandparents out there, your work is not yet done. Grandchildren, some of you are great-grandchildren, great-great-grandparents. I love the phrase great-grandparents. You've got a lot to offer. Get building. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust your reliable people will also be qualified to teach others. Imagine a church where everyone leaves something eternal in someone else. A church full of spiritual fathers, mothers, mentors, and encouragers. This is not just the call for pastors or leaders or elders. This is the call for everyone. We all have influence somewhere. Imagine young people saying, Because of them, I found Jesus. Because of them, I discovered purpose. Because of them, I know how to be a faithful parent, leader, and disciple. People are always looking at you and how you respond, and that's what draws people to Jesus, or can draw them away from Jesus. Let's not just live well, let's leave well. Let's leave more than we take. And this is not about doing stuff someday. It's a built on obedience today. So what is Jesus telling you today? And so just to conclude, Brian and Lana, I want to thank you again for the part that you've played in my life as the Pauls to a Timothy. I'm deeply grateful. And as they continue to serve Jesus, let us take that same call to the next generation and the generation after that. Because Jesus is alive. He is the answer. And we get to be part of his greater story. Amen? Amen. Amen.